Welcome to Musings on Faith, a podcast series from St. George Episcopal Church in the Villages, Florida. I am Marianne DeSantis, a parishioner at St. George, and your host for several special podcasts about Holy Week. Today, I'm talking with the Reverend Ed Bartle, Associate Rector at St. George, about the importance and meaning of our Holy Week observances, especially Easter Sunday. Today, we're taking a closer look at how the Episcopal Church observes Holy Week. Father Ed, please tell us about the days leading up to Easter and why they have a special significance in the Christian faith.
I think Holy Week, and that Holy Week begins with Palm Sunday and, of course, runs through Easter. That's the most important week of our Christian calendar. You know, this everything that Jesus did in his walk headed towards Jerusalem and towards Easter, and not necessarily towards Good Friday, not necessarily to the cross, but actually to the resurrection. And that's what we base our religion on. That's what gives us strength and faith to know that there's a place that we'll go, that there's life afterwards, and that we'll be in God's hands. And so I observe it as just the most important week of the year for me, and I hope others would. But during the Holy Week, we start, as I said, with Palm Sunday, with the distribution of palms and representing the time that Jesus entered into Jerusalem to the applause of the masses, everybody applauding and yelling, Hosanna, because they thought that he was the Messiah that was going to save them. But that Palm Sunday ends up in the sadness of the passion play and the arrest, beating and conviction and crucifixion of Christ in that passion talk. Well, during the following week, there's some other events that you can do. We will do Tenebrae, a service called Tenebrae on Tuesday evening. And that's a service which means darkness or shadow, and it's been practiced in the church since medieval times. The monasteries used to do it. The monasteries, if you may recall, had seven services within the 24 hours, starting with matins in the morning, and then in the mid-morning they had terce, and then sext in the noon, and non in the middle, and then vespers, compline, and in the following morning with lauds. And so Tenebrae kind of follows along that line with reading of psalms, reading of the scripture, and the extinguishing of the candles that indicate the light going out in the world and Satan's belief that he's won the victory. And then Christ comes back in. It's a very powerful service. I hope people attend. Then we have Maundy Thursday, which is a day of stripping the altar. It's the reminder of the Passover dinner that Jesus had with his disciples and the washing of their feet, and this time in Gethsemane. And again, that is a very moving service, which includes stripping of the altar and setting up a vigil of repose, a watch for the night. And then on Good Friday, again, you know, you hear the term good, and some people say, why you call it good? Well, it's what the Jews and the Romans did to Jesus was not good, but the fact that it went towards the resurrection of Christ and the saving of us, that makes it good. Mm-hmm. The events weren't good, but the outcome is what's good. And so we'll do a Good Friday service, and we'll be here from 12 to 3 on that day with good services, last words of Christ, Stations of the Cross, and Eucharist from the Reserve. And then Saturday morning, Holy Saturday, we will do a morning prayer outside. And then in the evening, of course, we have the lighting of the new fire and the Easter Vigil, which again is a very moving service. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a few minutes ago that strength and faith, and that made me think, well, what can we learn today about Jesus through what he went through that last week of his life?
Well, you know, and this is just me talking, you know, Jesus was human and divine. And I would think that and it was pretty obvious with his sweating tears of blood in Gethsemane, then it must be pretty obvious that the human side of Jesus must have been anticipating the pain and suffering, and maybe not even wanting to leave the earth at that time, but he knew that's what God had set for him. And so I think before he entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, you know, he was out among the people. That must have been a joyous time for him to be able to heal, to be able to preach, to find followers. But that last week, and it shows his temper, because when he went into the temple and drove out all the money changers and all the animals and saying, you know, don't make my father's house a marketplace, you know, that showed the human side of him, that there was, that he could be angry. Mm-hmm. But then he was committed to what God had for him to do, and he did it. And he did it with faith and courage, and he did it for us. So, and that to me is Holy Week, just that time when Jesus was going from the divine to the human, and then ultimately back to the divine.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit more about Easter, and why is Easter considered the most important festival in the Christian calendar?
Well, it's the rising of Christ, the coming back from the dead, the telling us, when he told us that there would be life after death, he proved it by his resurrection. It gives the whole Christian community hope for a future. You know, if he had not come back from the dead, if he'd remained dead, there wouldn't have been any real hope for us, not to mention the fact that we were still living with the initial sin, and through Christ dying on the cross, we're relieved of that sin. And we can go out and do our own sinning, and we do. But it's nice to know that we have a forgiving God and a forgiving Jesus, yeah.
And that's one of the things that we can take with us all year, even after Easter.
That's what I said.
Well, spring.
Jesus' whole journey from the time he was born until the time that he rose from the grave, that was a progression, a journey for the salvation of mankind. And he did it to encourage and bring other people into the fold and create his disciples that would carry on after he left. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have to ask, because a lot of people will be having grandchildren with them maybe this year. So I have to wonder, how did the Easter bunny and Easter baskets and other rituals that were once considered pagan become part of the Christian observance of Easter?
Well, the myth on Easter eggs, well, to begin with, if you wanted to apply it, and youth groups do it, my wife and several others headed up a program for the youth in the diocese called New Beginnings. And one of their symbols at one time, or one of their logos, was an egg shell that had been opened with a rainbow from one half of the egg to the other half of the egg, with the thing New Beginnings. And so if you look at it that way, the egg represents new life, the creation of new life. The bunny rabbit, well, we know how prolific the rabbits are. and so they generate a lot of new life. But I think the pagan, it started with a pagan belief, and it came over from Germany, so they say, and the myth, with a group of settlers that settled in Pennsylvania. And their myth or their story was about an Easter bunny that laid eggs, so they brought that over, and well, there wasn't an Easter bunny, but it was, the term was Osterhaus or Easter bunny, but it indicated it was the spring and the time of a new life. And so they would decorate eggs, and they would make a basket of straw for the Easter bunny to come lay the eggs. But what it has to do with us, other than the Easter or the eggs representing new life, it's a symbol, but it has really no bearing on our faith. Again, it was a tradition based out of a pagan observance.
Uh-huh. Well, what are ways that we can keep this Holy Week holy and meaningful? And I know you mentioned the various services. Are there other things we can do, readings how would you say to people, you know, to keep Jesus and the resurrection at the forefront?
Well, you know, we're in a period of Lent, and that's what we talked about Lent from the very beginning,
right?
That Lent is a time of self-examination and penitence And we should spend that time, that 40 days, as if we were in the wilderness. And I'm not going to say in the wilderness of Jesus, because it's important that we're in the wilderness by ourselves so that we can examine ourselves and then look to Jesus for saving us. You know, they say that after the 40 days, the angels came and ministered to Jesus. Well, I would think that after our 40 days, we would see Jesus coming and ministering to us. And so we take that 40 days. We fast if we can, and many people cannot fast, but you could fast a meal, or you could fast part of the meal if you wanted. Good Friday is a great day to fast, at least during the 12 to 3 period. You can read, or you can go out and do something for somebody. You know, we always give up something. We give up candy, we give up cigarettes, and that's fine and dandy. If when you're giving up that, whatever that is, when you have a craving for a candy bar, like I do, I'm a chocoholic. And if I start thinking about a candy bar and I want that one, then I have to remember the reason I'm not eating that candy bar is because I need to put my attention to Christ and to my own sins and find reconciliation.
Okay. Well, thank you, Father Ed. Is there anything else that we haven't mentioned as far as Holy Week and Easter that you would like to share?
Well, again, I just think it's probably, if not, to me anyway, in the Christian calendar is the most important. This whole Lenten period from Ash Wednesday through Easter is a time for us to really examine ourselves and figure out what we can do to make the world better, what we can do to help others, what we can do to quit thinking about ourselves and start thinking of others. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, at Ash Wednesday, we put ashes on our forehead, but then you have to be careful because Jesus said not to walk around like with the hypocrites. In other words, don't smear your face and tear your clothes and look sullen, but to wash your face, look clean and go, because whatever you've done during that Lenten period is between you and God. It's not for you to show off to your friends and neighbors. So you shouldn't look any different to the people around you during Lent, but you should look different to yourself.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay.
Well, thank you. And thank you, listeners, for giving us your time today. Please subscribe to Musings on Faith and leave us a voice comment by clicking on the link at the bottom of this podcast description. You may also write to us at musingsonfaith@gmail.com.